The Torah begins Parshas Metzora with the Seder of Taharas HaMetzora. If the Neged Tzaras appears, the person doesn't become Tamei automatically until the Kohen declares him as Tamei. And when the Neged Tzaras disappears, he doesn't become Tohar automatically. So you cut off the Neged Tzaras. After the Kohen declared him as Tamei, you cut off the Neged Tzaras. It's not there anymore. He doesn't become Tohar automatically. The Kohen has to declare him as Tohar. There is an Isser, the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, Yisham Lecha Benega Tzaras, Yishamer Pen V'Yal, implied that there's a Loisese. So the Gemara says, Achotech Yabelis, one who cuts off an Ega Tzaras, is over on the Lav. You get Malkus, you're in violation of that Lav. And then because he violated the Lav, so the Mishnah has this a penalty with the Rabbanan that the Kohen should not be Mitire him. Based on the fact that he cut off the Neged Tzaras. The Chumash talks, Min HaTorah, the Kohen can be Mitire him. He doesn't have the Neged Tzaras anymore. Nirpa Neged Tzaras Min HaTzaroch. But the Rabbanan and the Mishnahis have that they made a penalty, that you're not allowed to be, shouldn't be Mitire the Tomei, based on cutting off the Neged Tzaras. So the Chumash discusses when it got healed by itself, and then the Kohen has to come Michutz LaMachaneh. Why be Yatzal Kohen Mechutz LaMachnah? Because the Metzora is Mishtaleh Chutz L'Sholosh Machnois. Rashi says Chutz L'Machnah, Chutz L'Sholosh Machnos. Because in Parshas Noso, it says, we spoke the other day, it says the word Machnah three times. V'shalchem in HaMachnah, called Tzuruah V'chal Zav V'chal Tomei L'Nefesh, says three Tameim, Tzuruah, Zav, and Tomei L'Nefesh, and the word Machnah appears three times. So the Gemara says that parallel to the three Machnas that existed in the Midbar, there was Machna Shechina, Machna Leviyah, Machna Yisrael. So Ledoris, there was also, it's a Gemara Psochim. So Ledoris also, there were three Machnas. The Azor is Machna Shechina, Harabayis corresponds to the Machna Leviyah, and the Yerushalayim corresponds to Machna Yisrael. So Metzora is not permitted to enter Yerushalayim, and the Gemara, the Mishnah says, is not permitted to enter any of the Ayoris, HaMekov HaSchomim, Imos Yoshua Benut. So he has to stay after the Kohen declared him as Tamei. He has to stay Michutz LaMachna. So the Kohen has to go be Yotzal Kohen am Michutz LaMachna, Chutz L'Sholosh Machnos. Can't be in Ayoras HaMekov HaSchaim. It can't be in Yerushalayim. He has to go Michutz. He sees the Neged Tzaras and he sees that it healed. So then they should take Tziporim Chayis Tohiris. The Tziporim Mitzora are not Karbonis. The Tziporim Mitzora are not Karbonis. In fact, there's a Shaila that's not the. There aren't too many mekoyrus. There are hardly any mekoyrus on this. When a person brings a carbon, brings a carbon chatas, carbon oshem, carbon oila, carbon shlom, whatever carbon brings, carbon pesach. So he's called the bala carbon because he paid for it. So someone else is makar of the carbon, and also he's kapa bo chaveroi. So the Gemara seems to say that it has to belong to me. That I'm the bala carbon. The carbon has to belong to me. If it's a carbon tzibur, has to belong to the tzibur, has to be paid for by machzah shekel money. And with the korban yochid, it has to belong to me, that I should get the kapar, the korban should be offered on my behalf. So there is a discussion in recent svarim, what about the tziporim mitzor? Tziporim mitzor are not really korbanas, so that's a shaila whether it has to belong to me or not.
Aren't they also shafted outside the
mikdash? Yeah, sure. Outside of the mikdash, yeah. So the Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin gives you a long list of Yisuri Hanoah. What's it doing in Avodah Zarah? What's it doing in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin? So the Mishnah says, if you mekadosh bekesef, you have to. We give a ring, shavah kesef kekesef. Either you give cash or you give shavah kesef kekesef. So shavah kesef has to be a shavah pruta. So the Mishnah says, if you give Yisuri Hanoah, it's Einem Mekudeshes, because Alpidin, it's not considered Shavah Pruto, it's not called Shaloi, it's not Bishusa, whatever, for some reason or another. So at the end of the second parak in Kiddushin, the Gemara has a long discussion of all of those Yisuri Hanoah that are listed in the Mishnah. So one of them is Tziporei Mitzora, in the plural, Tziporei Mitzora. The Gemara says that the Tzipor HaMeshulachas, the one Yishilach HaPnei HaSoda, the one that you set free, that one is Muta Bahanoah. So why does it say in the Mishnah Tziporei Mitzora? So you could have said the Tziporim in general, the Tzipor HaShchuta is also Bahanoah. The Tziporim, but then it should say Tziporei Mitzoraim. It says Tziporei Mitzora. So Tosfos points out on the Gemara, they both become Asa Bahanoah. When you send it free, then it becomes mutabana. Until you do the shiluach, atzipor hamashulachas, they're both going to be asabana. When do they both become asabana? So that's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. What is the yoiser? Rabbi Yochanan says that when you shecht the tzipor hashchuto, that's when they both become asabana. It's only going to be asabana for 2 minutes, and then when you send away the tzipor hamashulachas, then it becomes mutabana. And Reish Lakish disagrees. He says, no, mishasli kichosam, because it says, v'lakach. How does it say? V'tzivo ha-kohen v'lakach la-mitahesh t'itzpoim chastos. Mishas l'kicho. They both become asa b'hano, because he didn't designate yet which one is going to be the shlucha, which one is going to be the shchuta. When you shech the one, I don't know when you shecht it, probably when you send it away. When you send away the tzipah hamishulachas, then it becomes asabano. So the Gemara points this out, that the tzipah hashchuto is asabano. It's not mafurish and psukim. The Gemara had a tradition, is based on drosha of psukim, called tzipah torah tarchelu, is lerabas tzipah hamishulachas. But that's the tradition of the Torah Shmapet, the tzipah hashchuto is asabano. So then the pasuk says you have to take shtei tziporim chayis tahoris, and then you have to take etzeres v'yezov v'shni tayloas. You have to dip, you have to shech the tzipa, and you have to take klicheres al mayim chayim. You shech the tzipa ha'shchuta on top of a klicheres that's full of mayim chayim. What is mayim chayim? Water that comes from a mayon, as opposed to water that comes from plain rainwater or melted snow. The Mishnah says in the Goyim that there are three instances in Halacha where we insist on Mayim Chaim. One is for Taharas HaMetzoira, not when he's Toivel in the Mikveh, he doesn't have to have Mayim Chaim. A regular Mikveh is good. But for the purpose of the Tzipor HaShchuto, V'shoch HaTzipor HaHechos HaKolicharos HaMayim Chaim, then you have later in the end of Bamidbor, you have Mayim Chaim El Keli, when you have a Paraduma. When you shech the paradum and you burn it, then you take the yeshes and you mix the yeshes into a container of water. So that water has to be, you take v'lokach me'afars me'ifas achatos v'nosan olav mayim chayim al keli. That also has to be mayim chayim. When the tomei meis is toivel in the mikveh, he doesn't have to be toivel in a mayim, he can be toivel in a mikveh. But for the purpose of mixing the yeshes from the paradum with water, there the halacha requires mayim chayim. The third instance where you need mayim chayim is at the end of today's sedra, by a zav who became tamei. So he has to be toivel dafke mayim chayim in a mayon. He cannot be toivel in a mikveh. A normal person, anybody else is tamei, has to be toivel in a mikveh, either a mikveh or a mayon. A mikveh is rainwater, has to be eshborin, has to be stagnant, it can't be zochlin. And a mayon is dafke zochlin. A mayon is all the water comes from the rain. The Gemara knows that there's a water cycle. All the water comes from the rain, from the melted snow. But if it's long enough under the ground and then it shoots out like from a mayon, then it has the din of mayim chayim. So the zav dafke has to have mayim chayim. That's in the end of today's sedra. The Mishnah collects these three. The three people need mayim chayim. The Goinim wrote that a Zava also needs Mayim Chaim. They assumed that a Zav and a Zava both need Shivinikim, they both need Mayim Chaim. So Rashi in different places in the Gemara quotes the Goinim. Three or four places he quotes like that, he interprets Gemaras like that, that for Tvila Zava you need Mayim Chaim. And another three or four places Rashi says that it's incorrect, and he quotes the Tosefta in Megillah. Mishnah in the end of the first parak of Megillah says, Ein Bein. Ein bein zavarei shtevis, zavarei shaldashvis, ein bein this one, ein bein shabbos liyontif, ein bein adarishan, adarsheni, a whole list of ein beins. So the Tosefta adds on more ein beins. So the Tosefta says, ein bein zav lezava ela, they both need shivinikim, they both metame behesit, and so on. Mishka v'moshav, ein bein zav lezava ela, shazavton, maim chaim azava, einutuna maim chaim. So it's beferish. The Ramban, in the end of Parshas Metzora, quotes the Goinim, and he says that they made a mistake. It's against the Tosefta Megill. It says, Beferish Azova does not need Mayim Chaim. It will be quite a Chumrah, because we have a Chumrah, Bizman Azeh, that we treat Nashi Didan, we treat all of our women as a Sufik Nida, Sufik Zova. When the Mishnah is talking about a woman who had amnesia, Toa, she made a mistake, she doesn't remember whether she's Tehoira, Temeya, Yoledes. She got so confused, she doesn't remember if she had a baby, she had an Eifel, she's a Nida, Zavatar, she doesn't know what adult she is. So the Mishnah in Erechen, and the Mishnah in Nida, discusses how does she straighten herself out? What does she have to do in order to get back on the track? So the so we have a chumrah today that we treat every woman has a riyazdan, we treat her as if she's a toh, as if she doesn't remember whether she's a nida or a zova. So that's why we require shivinikim. A nida does need shivinikim, only a zova. So we treat all the women as if they're a suffix zova. So if you're going to say a zova needs ma'im chayim, so that cuts out the 98% of the mikvahs. Hardly any mikvahs have ma'im chayim. Most of them are based on rainwater, melted snow. It's not based on a mayon. Very few have mayon. So that's what we don't follow that opinion of the Goyim. We hold la'alocha that you don't need mayim chayim. Then the pasuk requires that the mitzora should have tiglachas. The mitzora has tiglachas. V'hoi b'yom ha'shvi'i yigalachas kol sora esroshav eskonav esgab esenav. Has to shave off all of his hair. He has twice tiglachas. Tiglachas rishona, and then 7 days later tiglachas shnia. There's a machlokes hatanaim whether the tiglachas rishona is exactly the same as tiglachas shnia. I think we paskin that it's the same. You have to shave off all the hair. The Mishnah Negoim says that there are three people who require tiglachas as a mitzvah, and has to be bita'ar. You have to use a razor. If you don't use a razor, you're not yet. He has to shave off his beard with a razor, which is normally an avera. Shave off his pears with a razor, it's clearly an avera. But Esedecha lo esesi, he has no choice. Who are the three people that need tiglachas? So one is the mitzora, and one is the nazir. When the naziris is up, the nazir needs tiglachas, and the third one is the levim. When the levim were chosen once in the history of the world, by Bechiris HaLevim, that was a Hirosha in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. So, and they were chosen, then they required the tiglachas. So the Mishnah in the Goyim collects shlosh, the three instances in the Chumash where the halacha requires tiglachas, and it has to be dafke betar. So the two aladuras, and the one is only haruah shor. Then after waiting, the 7 days of waiting, that's called shivis yemei sviro. He has to count 7 days, he has the tiglachas shnia, but yom hashmini, he has to bring the special karbonas. These karbonas are called Mechusi Kippurim. Mechusi Kippurim is a technical term. There are Arboa Mechusi Kippurim. That's the beginning, that's the name of the second parak of Maseches Krisis. Arboa Mechusi Kippurim. There are four people who are Tomei. Usually a person is Tomei, so he goes to Mikveh, he becomes Tohar. Or a person is a Tomei Mei, so he can't just go to Mikveh just like that. He has to have Paraduma water sprinkled on him, Azosh Lishishvi, and then he can go to the Mikveh, and then he becomes Tohar. He doesn't become Torah just with the paraduma water. That prepares him to be able to go to the mikveh. Then the mikveh clinches the tahara. And then there are four people who are tameim. So whoever is tameh has to go to mikveh. And then there's a certain degree of tumah remains until tzeisah kechavah. He's called the full yom to the end of the day. Full yom is not permitted to eat kotchim. He's not permitted to eat truma. He is permitted to eat ma'aser sheni. Tov al v'yola. The Mishnah says, Tov al v'yola. A person goes to mikveh. He's no biatim mena b'tomeh. He's saying vida meiser. I didn't consume the meiser sheni in a state of tumah, but after he's tovel in the mikveh, he comes out of the mikveh. He's already permitted to eat the meiser sheni. Harav shimsho after harav shemesh, then he's ochel b'tshuma. Calls manis itzvul yom. He's not allowed to be ochel b'tshuma. Then there are four people who have to bring a korban to complete the tahara. Then, so the four people are Zab, Zavi, Yoledes, and Mitzora. So these four people, even after going to the mikveh and after having Harav Shemesh, they still have a status of Tomei with respect to entering the Beis HaMikdosh and with respect to eating Korbanos. They're not allowed to eat Korbanos and not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdosh. That's called the Mechusi Kippurim. Evi Kaparasa, that's how the Mishnah continues. Evi Kaparasa, if the Zab, Zavi, Yoledes, and Mitzora, if they brought their Korban, so then they're permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash. They're permitted to eat the kotchim. It's a different type of a carbon. The Gemara says in the Dorim on Daf Lamed Hey that Hakol Tzichim Das Chutz B'Mechusri Kapora. When a person brings a carbon, let's say a person was Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg. So the Torah requires he has to bring a chatos. Sometimes there are six people of Chayiv Hashamas. There are six Hashamas. Hashem Gzeilas, Hashem Nilas, Hashem Shivchach Aruf, and so on. The person, let's say, is mechuyev to bring a chatos or an Asham, or a Pesach, whatever. So the Gemara says, Hakol Tzrichim Das, when you makriv the carbon on my behalf, let's say I'm very poor, my next door neighbor feels bad for me. So he's going to donate the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and they'll send me a letter, the carbon was brought on your behalf. So the Gemara says, that's no good. I have to know about it. Hakol Tzrichim Das. They have to have Das HaBailim at the time that they're offering the carbon on my behalf. Unless it's Mechus Rikepara. And Mechus Rikepurim doesn't need Das. To bring the carbonas on behalf of a Zab Zavi, your lettuce and Mitzayra, that you don't need. The Gemara says, the Gemara gives a mashal. A man is married to a woman who's not all there. His wife is a Meshugana. His wife is not, he's crazy. Okay. Chareshes or a Shaita. Why did he marry her? Good looking. Sometimes the boys are so interested in looks. They don't even realize the girl's missing brains. Brains are more important than looks. You have to know how to diaper a baby. You have to know how to cook. You're just looking for the looks. So the Gemara tells, a man is married to a woman who's mamash a nitwit, and then she has a baby. One baby, after, maybe that's why she lost the brains, after having all these babies. So and the husband wants his wife to become tahira. He wants her to be able to participate in the Korban Pesach. So he can, but she's not a basda, so she can't bring the karbonis. So the Gemara says she can't maybe carbon your lettuce, alishtoi, the husband can bring the carbon your lettuce to complete the tahara process for the wife, even though she's a chareshes a reshaita, because karbonis mechus kippurim don't need das. So let's say a cotton, let's say a person has young children, and one of the young children became a little boy, became a zav or a zava. So they'll never be able to. So you push them in the mikveh, you wait shiva nikim, push them in the mikveh, they become tor. Yeah, but they have to bring karbonas. Hakol tzichem das, hakotn is alav bar das. You have to wait till he's bar mitzvah. The Gemara says no. The korban mechus kippurim can be brought by the parents on behalf of the young children, and there's no need for das. The Gemara compares it. Mara says, let's say a woman had 9 babies, and then they build a Beis HaMikdash. She's obligated to bring 9 sets of korbanos. We had in last week's Sedra, beginning of Tazria. So Kol Zman, you don't bring the set of korbanos. The woman is Temeyo, even though she went to Mikveh, she had Harav Shemesh, she's still considered Temeyo. She's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. She's not permitted to eat korbanos. But once you brought the first set of korbanos, so she's already tahora. She's allowed to eat karbanas, enter the Beis HaMikdash. V'hashara le'achayva. She still has a mitzvah to bring the additional 8 sets of karbanas. She had 9 babies. She still has to bring the other 8 sets of karbanas. But once she bought the first set, she's already tahora. Why is that? That's a Gemara increases, a mitzvah increases. So the Gemara increases explains, it's like if a person touched a dead sheretz. Then he touched a week later another sheretz, touched a week later another sheretz. He has to tevel in the mikveh 3 times. Let's say he went to one funeral, another funeral, another funeral, 4 funerals he went to in the course of a year. He participated in 4 funerals. So he has to be tevel in the mikveh 4 times. He has to have hazor shlishi shvi 4 times. No. There are 4 reasons why he's tamei. So he only has to go to mikveh once. He has hazor shlishi shvi once. So the karbonis mechus kippurim that the Yoledes brings, number one, it's a mitzvah. So if she had 9 sets of 9 babies, she has to bring 9 sets of karbonas. But for the purpose of tahara, so it's like a person became tummy 9 times, a table in the mikveh once, so that removes all the tumah. So she only has to bring the first set of karbonas, v'ashara le'achayv, the rest is a mitzvah, but the mechusi kippurim aspect has been taken care of already. The Chumash has a special din over here. This is one of the 5 cases of oila b'yorid. Korban oila b'yorid means if you can afford it, you bring the more expensive korban, oila, goes up in price, or yorid, it goes down in price. If you can't afford it, then you bring a less expensive korban. So the Chumash has by Mitzoyra, has it earlier by Yoledes. Yoledes brings bashiras of bedalos. If she can't afford the korban behemah, she brings the korban hoif. And the same over here. If the Mitzoyra b'taharosoi can't afford to bring all of the behemoths, so the Oshem always has to be a behemoth. There's no Oshem by Yof, but the Chattas and the Yoyla, you can substitute Oifus instead of the behemoth. So here, by Yoledes and by Mitzoyra, you only have Ashiris and Dalos. Then in Parshas Vayikra, you have 3 Averis, where instead of bringing a korban chatos kavua, whether you can afford it, you can't afford it, that's it, you have to bring a chatos kavua, same price, there are three averis that are singled out that you bring achatas zol biyorid. If you can afford it, you bring achatas behema. If you can't afford it, you bring achatas soif. And if you can't afford that, then you bring aminchas choytein. So that's Ashiras Dalos and Dali Dalos. So the Mishnah says in the Goyim that the Metzora Oni, who can't afford to bring the all three behemoths, he only has to bring, the Osham has to be a behemoth, and he brings the two oifas, the Oilos Oif, the Chatas Oif, and the Oilos Oif. What if he borrows money from the bank, and then he buys the more expensive korban? Would you say he's not Yotzei? So the Mishnah says, Tavo ala bracha, good for him. He's not mechuyif to borrow money. He's not mechuyif to schnar money for the neighbors. If he can't afford it, the Torah gives him dal huven yodam aseges. So he brings the korban bedalos. But if he borrows money and he brings it bashira, so the Mishnah says, Tavo ala bracha. What about by the others and Parshas Vayikra, the three averis are what? Tumas migdash v'kadosha, for that is koris. He really should have brought the chatas kvua there. So that's a chiddush in the pasuk. Instead of a chatas kvua, you bring a chatas olav yared. The other two averis for which you bring the olav yared, there is no koris. The other one is shvuas bitoy, nefesh kisushava levata bisusam lahara lahaita. The person took a shvua, he's not going to eat potato chips. He is going to eat potato chips. And then he forgot. And he violated the shvua. So he has to bring. There's no koris for violating a shvua b'mezid. But nonetheless, he's chayv the chatas olav yared. And the third aver is shvuas eidus. If a person has a din Torah with another person, the only way to win the din Torah is if the witnesses are going to testify on my behalf. They're not going to take my word for it. And then I approach the witnesses and I say, Bob the Heiduni. And he says, shvuas, and then he deilach eidus. I don't know anything about the case. Sorry, I can't help you. Then later on, he admits that he swore falsely. So since he said in front of Bezdin, I don't know anything about the case, but then Bezdin will not be able to accept his testimony later. So by his swearing falsely in the presence of Bezin Shur, Shenani Delochaidus, he was mopsed me the money. Now I lose the case. And he can't say later on, I made a mistake and I really do no Aidus. The Bezin won't accept it. So because he swore falsely and it was mopsed me the money, so there's a din that he has to bring a Chatas Olav Yard. So those are the three. So there, by that Chatas Olav Yard, where there's Ashiris Dallas and Dali Dallas there, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that the poor man has to bring the Korban Oni. If he brings the Korban Oshi, he's not Yotzei. The Torah prescribed he has to bring Dafke a Korban Oni. So Achronim asked the Kasha, how can he say that? Isn't it against the Mishnah? The Mishnah says in the Goyim that if the Metzora Oni brings the Korban Oshi, Tavo Ola Brocha, good for him, he's not Mechuyiv to. He wouldn't say HaMachmer Tavo Ola Brocha. It's not, we wouldn't recommend he should be Machmer. The Torah prescribes special korban oil of a yarid. If you can't afford it, you don't bring. But if he did bring it, so it's kosher, he's yotzei, and he doesn't have to bring the other one, and we give him a blessing. We don't recommend it, but we say good for you. So how can the chinuch say against the Mishnah? Mishnah says beferish that it's good. So apparently the distinction, can't say apparently, perhaps the distinction is that over here the korban of the Metzorah is a mechusri kippurim. It's like being toivel in a mikveh. The Gemara compared it to being toivel in a mikveh. It's to remove the little bit of tumah that still remains. You need tefillah in a mikveh, then you need harav shemesh, then you need but the abom mechusir kapor, but the zab zavia lettuce and mitzvah. You need hakrovas hakorban to complete the tahara process. So here it says we give him a break. If he can't afford the behema, we allow him to bring the oif. If he brings the behema, tov ala bracha, good. It's not. We're not talking about a mitzvah. This is a mechusi kapor. This is the procedure to become tohar. But the other one there in Parshas Vayikra, that's not a mechusi kippurim. That's a halacha. A person that did one of these three averis has a mitzvah only. Here it's also a mitzvah, but there it's only a mitzvah. There's no aspect of mechusi kippurim at all. So there the Torah says, if you can't afford it, you mechuyif to bring this carbon. He brought the wrong carbon, so the Sefer HaChinuch thinks you're not yotzei. The Pashtus is not so. Pashtus is not to say not like the Sefer HaChinuch. Pashtus is what the Mishnah says in the Goyim, by the oil of the Yorid of the Mitzvah should apply to every oil of the Yorid. That if he brings the more expensive korban, it should certainly be good. But we can understand why he makes a distinction between the two. And the Chumash continues with the dinim of Tzaraz Batim. only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Because Teraz Batim is totally a miraculous thing. Lemaila Manatev Ki Savoyal Eretz Kenan Satin Negat Saras B'deis Eretz Achuzas only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So he comes to the Kohen, and the Kohen has to look at the Nega. So it says you have to remove, if it turns out that the Negat Saras is Tomei B'shlichu Esen Al Michutz Lo'ir Al Mokam Tomei, you have to remove the Reben Hamanuga and put it michutz lo ear. What kind of an ear are we talking about? So with respect to a human being, a person who's a metzora, so the Mishnah say you're talking about bodad yesh michutz lamachane, and the coin has to go beyotzal michutz lamachane. So Rashi writes chutz l'sholosh machnas. Chutz l'sholosh machnas means ayoros hamakafas chamos shur benun. Doesn't apply to Tel Aviv, doesn't apply to other cities in Eretz Yisrael. Here, the Rashi and Mishnah is going quotes a tosefta, that the Eben HaMenuga has to be taken out Michutz Lo'ir, every city in Eretz Yisrael. Any and every city in Eretz Yisrael, even not Mukav Chavim Asur Shobanun, has a higher level of Kedusha than the farms. I remember my Chavrusa once told me, an Alshich, I think, on Chumash, that the farms have a higher level of Kedusha than the cities. Because the cities are full of theaters and full of corruption and gnevis and gambling. And the farms, they're simple people, they don't sin so much. The cities are where all the terrible things are happening. But Al Pidin, we say the reverse, that the cities have a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, not with respect to a Metzora, a person, but with respect to Eben HaMenuga. The Eben HaMenuga has to be removed, Michutz La'ir. Removing. So how do you define a city if it doesn't have to have a wall around it? So when is it called a city? When is it only called a private home? How many houses do you have to have that it should be called a city? So there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about the Mishnah in Erechin and the Mishnah in Erevin. They both talk about the topic. What's the definition of a city? So they both say the same thing. You have to have a minimum of 3 chatzeres, and each chatzer has to have, chatzeres means a mechitza, a mukaf, some kind of a fence, 10 tefachim tall, around an area which is shared in common by 2 different families in 2 different homes. You have to have gimel chatzeres. How close do the chatzeres have to be to each other? You have one chatzer in New York, one chatzer in Idaho, one chatzer in Los Angeles. That doesn't make the whole United States into a city. They have to be close to each other. They have to be contiguous. Mamish touching each other. The Tosfos and Erev writes, they don't think they have to be contiguous. They think there must be some shear, that shear tziruv, how close the chatziris have to be. Another says, the Taisus is guessing, so they think probably shivim amma v'shirayim, within 70 amas. The Gemara has that shear, when you have a city and then you want to extend the city, so you have another house, another house, another house, another house, how close to each other do the houses have to be that you extend the city limits? You say that this is all the hemshech of the city. So the Mishnah says in Erevin, shivim amma v'shirayim, 70 amas plus. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk, and it's a din deraisa. The Gemara learns it out from a very strange drasha from a pasuk, and Taisus assumes that that's a real din deraisa. The shira shivim ama the shira. So Taisus says you have to have gimel chatzeres that should be either contiguous to each other or within shivim ama the shirayim to each other. But then, what if you have gimel chatzeres and each chatzah has 2 batim and it's one family? One family has 9 children, and all the children and all the grandchildren, that's already called a city. That's called a city. How much of a population do you have to have? So that's another Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin, when the Gemara talks about Ir Hanidachas, so it has to have a certain minimum population that it should have the status of an Ir. The Gemara says, Ir Valoi Krach. Ir Hanidachas is going to destroy the whole city, so that's only if it's a city, not if it's a metropolis. If it's a big city, so then a Medina. Medina means a metropolis. When you read the Megillah, people think that Medina means a country. Sheva v'yesem v'meh, Medina means 127 countries. But Medina in the Megillah, the year of the year, Medina means a big city. Doesn't mean a metropolis. New York City is Medina's New York. New York does mean the state of New York. When you write Iksubi, you write Medina's New York, you don't mean in the state of New York, you mean in the metropolis of New York. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara darshins lahokel by Yerani Dachas. That ir v'loy krach. If you have a big metropolis, then you don't destroy the whole city. Just those who worship Tavid Azor, you give them the death penalty. Give them skilim. But if the rival here worshipped up with his own, it's not a big metropolis. It's a smaller city. That's has a minimum population to be called a city. So then, not only do you kill the people who worship David Zohar, you destroy the whole city. So the Gemara there has a machlokes hatanaim. What's the minimum population that you need? So we assume that it's 100 people. Minimum of 100 people, also based on drushes of psukim. And how long do the 100 people have to live there? Let's say you have motels near the airport. You have 10 motels near the airport. And at any given time, they always have more than 100 people staying in the motel, but they only stay there for a maximum of 2-3 days. No one stays for more than 3 days. Everybody's flying around. They're just in between Ben Gavra and Le Gavra, between one flight and the other. They're staying over in the motel. So that's not called a city. So how long do they have to live? So one would have probably thought either 30 days or 12 months. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin. Sometimes there are dinim in Baba Basra, the Gemara has. Sometimes their dinner depend on 30 days living there. Sometimes their dinner depend on living there for 12 months. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this in Hilchas Tchumen. When you have a population, 100 people living in a city, then it's called the city with the Gimel Chatzeres and so on. Then you treat the whole city Kedal Ramaz Dami, and you have Alpai Mama Michutz Lo'ir. The person lives all by himself in a forest or in a mountaintop, so then he only has Alpai Mama L'chol Ruach. If he lives in an ear, so the whole ear is considered, however big it is, many miles big, however large the city is, the whole city is Gedal Ramaz Dami, and then you have Alpai Mame Chutz L'ir. So the Mishnah Berurah did the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah discussed there what's the definition of an ear. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achrayim about how long they have to live in the city. So they don't say either. They don't. What I would have guessed, it's either 30 days or 12 months. So he says that it's a season. A half a year. What's that? Half a year. He says because people normally rent houses for a season, for a half a year. That's a question. So how do you define a city? But in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Tosefta, we assume that the cities in Eretz Yisrael have a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the farms, because the Eben HaManuga not only has to be removed from Venir HaMukevaz Chamas HaShubanun, from all of the cities in Eretz Yisrael, it has to be removed. The Mishnah in Kelim, in Perek Aleph and Kelim, list off Eser Kedusha Tein, the 10 levels of Kedusha. So it says, Eretz Yisrael, Mekudeshes Mikol HaRotzes, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, as opposed to Chutz Lord, Shemevim Emenu HaOmer Eshtei Alechem. Then it says, the Mishnah really lists off 11 Madregas, and it says Eser Kedushas. So the Mefarshim have difficulty. The Tanakh couldn't count. He lists off 11, and he says, they're Eser Kedushas, a problem. So it says, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, then Ayaris HaMakav Shem have Kedusha, then Yerushalayim has Kedusha, Harabais has Kedusha, so on and so forth, till you go to the 11 levels that are called Eser Kedusha. So why they leave out, if the Tosefta is right, that the Shlichu Esan HaMichutz Le'ir, the Eben HaMenuga has to be removed from every city in Eretz Yisrael. So they should have listed another Madrega. Eretz Yisrael Mekadesh has Mekol HaRotas, Kol HaYorish of Eretz Yisrael, Mikudosh is Mikol Shar Eretz Yisrael, and Ayoras Hamakov Shchaim are more Mikudosh than the other Ayoras. How come the Mishnah left it out? Doesn't it appear as if the Mishnah is contradicting the Tosefta that the Rash quotes? The Rash quotes the Tosefta that all cities, you have to remove the Eben HaMenuga from all cities, but doesn't it contradict the Mishnah in Perek Aleph and Kelim? So it could be, possible suggestion could be that Mishnah and Kelim says Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh is Mikol HaRotz Hashem Mivi Mimena HaOmer Eshtei Alechem. The significance of Kedushas HaOretz as opposed to Chutz La'aretz is that Omer that you bring on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach from barley, the barley has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. And the Eshtei Alechem that you bring on Shavuos has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. These two obscure dinim, who ever heard of them? Most people never heard of that dinim. Why don't they say Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh is Mikol HaRotz Hashem? You're obligated in mitzvahs hatluyos baretz. Yichayv and Trumas and Maisus and Shmita v'yoyev alek and Shikrape. All the famous dinim. Why quote such two obscure dinim that nobody ever heard of? So Rav Menachem Zembe has a beautiful essay. Menachem Zembe was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw ghetto. So he was a businessman. For most of his life he was a businessman. But he knew all of Shas Yerushalmi, all the Yosamechs, and all the Avnei Nezes. It was a Goyin HaGoyinim, one of the greatest Goyinim that they had in Poland. And they had a group of Chaverim who were all businessmen, and they knew all the Yosamechs and all the Yerushalmis, Kala Tarakula, fantastic. So one of his chaverim put out Yoskevich, put out his Mar Mekoymes, his commentary on the Sifrei Zuta. The Sifrei that we use is by Reb Shimon, Stam Sifrei Reb Shimon, and it's Mibes Midrasha Shal Reb Akiva. Shimon was the Talmud of Reb Akiva. And the Sifrei Zuta is a different style Hebrew, it's like more Aramaic style, and it's supposed to be Mibes Midrasha Shal Reb Yishmael. And the Rambam quotes a lot of dinah from the Sifrei Zuta, and the Rashi on Mishnayos, and Rashi on Chumash, and Rashi on the Gemara. You know, Rashi always calls it the Sifrei B'Panim Acherim, some other Sifrei. So this businessman, the friend, the Afikayam, was also a businessman, all at the same period. Ga'inim Adirim. So this friend of Rabbi Nachum Zemba put out the Sifrei Zuta on the top of the page with his Mar Mekoymes on the bottom of the page. And he sent the galleys to Rabbi Nachum Zem if he has any ha'oris to add on. So he shook out of his sleeve a 100-page essay, just like that, on the essay Kedushas, that everybody gamas from that essay. It's Meiridik. He talks about all the essay Kedushas. There's slight discrepancies between the way it appears in the Sifrei Zuta. That's the first Sifrei Zuta on Chumash Bamidbar. There's on Shiloh Tameim and Amachna and Parshas Nosai, and the way it appears in the Mishnah in Perak Alf and Kelim, essay Kedushas same. So one of the things that he points out is this, Rav Soloveitchik used to say this also, but I'm sure he didn't see it in Rav Menachem Zemba. He would have said it over in his name. He wasn't even aware that such a sefer existed. Oitzer HaSifrei, it's called. This 100-page essay is called Oitzer HaSifrei by Rav Menachem Zemba. So he points out this problem. Why does the Mishnah mention Eretzon Mikadesh is Bekol HaRotza Shevim Meno Imer Shtei Alechem? They should say Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes that Yechayv and Shumas and Ma'aseh Shmita V'Yovel like in Shikrapei all the mitzvahs Hatleis Barza. He answers no. The Mishnah means to tell us that there are 10 levels in Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah says the Kodesh HaKadosh Mbein HaBadim is the center of Kedushas Hamikdash. Then you have the Heichal. Then you have the Ulam in front of the Heichal. Then you have Bein HaUlam V'Lam Mizbeach. Then you have the rest of the Ezra's Kanim. Then you have Ezra's Yisrael. Then you have Ezra's Noshim. The different degrees, though all degrees in Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, some of them are different on the level of the Raisas, several of them are only different on the level of the Rabbanan, different levels of Kedusha. Then the Mishnah goes, all of Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, Rahai Raya, you eat the Korban Pesach and the Kachim Kalam and all of Yerushalayim. Then you have Ayoras and Makafis Chayma have a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, and all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. How can you prove that? You're going to say Yechayv and Shumas and Ma'aseh Shmita V'Yevel Leket Shikrapeya. That doesn't necessarily indicate that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. Has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Who says Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Tefillin have Kedusha. Mezuzah has Kedusha. It's a lower level of Kedushas Eretz. It has nothing to do with Sefer Torah has Kedusha. Every Kedusha in the world has to do with Eretz Yisrael. No. So every Kedusha in the world has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. No. So the Mishnah says all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, Baharaya, Shebivim Imenu Ha'Omer Eshtei Alechem, that the Omer and the Eshtei Alechem have to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash. But there's no farmland. You don't plant anything in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So if the Omer, the Eshtei Alechem, the barley for the Omer, or the wheat for the Eshtei Alechem grew anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, that's considered as if it grew in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Mishnah can't mention Shmita b'yoyver leket shikrapeya chumas and maises. That's not Eretz Yisrael, but Torah is Beis HaMikdash. That's Eretz Yisrael, but Torah is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So maybe this is the answer to this kasha also, possibly. Maybe the reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention what says in Tosefta, that all Ayoras in Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, namely that Eben HaManuga may not be brought. The Mishnah says a Metzorah is not allowed to enter any of the Ayoras HaMakafas Chayma. So the Mishnah is assuming Ayoras HaMakafas Chayma have a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and a lower level than Yerushalayim. But it could be that the reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention all the Ayoras in Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's only a higher level of Kedushas HaOretz, but it's not that it's a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash.
That one?
Yeah, there's no habas makam from chutz la aretz. Yeah. He speaks about Avos Makam. I don't know if it's necessarily connected with this. He defines what Avos Makam means also. We discussed a little bit. There are three things that require Avos Makam: B'chor Behema Tohira and Bikurim and Maisa Sheni are the three things that need Avos Makam. What do you mean, three things? All the karbonas have to be brought to Yerushalayim. You have an obligation to bring all karbonas. So why does the Gemara only single out? The Gemara has a Brisa and Makis and Zochim, only single out these three things. Rabbi Nachman Zend explains, when you makdush a korban anywhere in the world or anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, it already has the full kedusha. When you bring it to Yerushalayim to be makrivit, it doesn't grow in kedusha. It's not, the kedusha of the korban is not enhanced. Havos Makam means that these three things, b'chor b'hem Torah and ma'aser sheni and neter revai, and Bikurim, when you bring them to Yerushalayim, that's Mashlem the Kedusha. He just explains what Avos Makam is. And then the Rambam quotes Yerushalayim, you can only have the Mishnayis, you can only have Avos Makam from Eretz Yisrael. If the Bechor Behemot Torah was born in Eretz Yisrael, was born from Chutz Lorenz, then the Avos Makam will not be Mashlem the Kedusha.
What's the Chiddush of Avos Makam?
What's the din?
The
din is that the Mitzoy Roim are not allowed to enter. So we assume that it has a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. Not just a higher level of Kedusha's Ha'aretz. A lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps the reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention all Ayoris in Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's because the Ayoris have a higher level of Kedusha's Ha'aretz, but it doesn't mean it's a lower level of Kedusha's HaMikdash. As far as Kedusha's HaMikdash is concerned, maybe it's the same as the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Possibility. Soloveitchik once said that his father suggested pshat in the Mishnah. I think we discussed it already. The Mishnah in the end of Zvachim, where it says that Bizman hetabamis, kachukal manachola mechol orei Yisrael. So his father thought maybe it's to be taken literally only mechol orei Yisrael, only in the cities in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to the farms. Maybe the cities have a higher level of Kedusha Sarets Menegeet to Beis HaMikdash. That was his suggestion. Maybe Bizman Het HaBamas, you're not allowed to be makriv on a bama on a farm. Dafke on a bama in the middle of a city. Yeah, if you say like that, then you got a kasha. So why doesn't the Mishnah mention that all Ayoris and Eretz Yisrael, it should be, instead of Esek Kedusha, it should be 11 or 12, should mention another level. That all the cities in Eretz Yisrael have a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, namely, that Bizman Het HaBamas, it was Mutter to eat Kochim Kalim, B'chol Ari Yisrael. The Pashtus is not so. It's Nechol B'chol Mashavis. The Gemara talks about Matzah, Nechol B'chol Mashavis. Means you can eat it anywhere, not only in Ayoris.
Does the definition of Ir that we're talking before matter for Ani Yerchabai Tzaka, or does the different gather what's considered Ani Yerchabai?
I don't think so. Let's say New York is such a big metropolis. Everything is Torah HaTchum. So Ani Ayecha Kodem L'Ani Yeracher is all the Anim in New York. I don't think so. The Pashtus is that Kroivim come first. And then Ani Ayecha means the Anim that I have a Shaychus with. So even the people in the neighborhood, some of the Anim I bump into, some of them I don't even know who they are. Some Anim in other cities I do know who they are. I have a Shaychus. So Ani Ayecha, let's say, on institutions also. There's those yeshivas where my children and my children-in-law and my grandchildren attended or attend. So that's in a certain sense Ani Ayircha. The other yeshivas where neither my children nor my children-in-law attended there. So that's Ani Ayircheres. I have no shaychas. So you try to support all the institutions. But the anim that you have a shaychas with and the institutions, the mikveh that my wife uses, that I have to support that, the shul where I daven, that's called Ani Ayircha in a certain sense. I'm not mukhiv to support all the shuls in New York City, the shul where I daven, the shuls where I daven, that's called in a certain sense Ani Yircha. Does it have a shaykh as well? Let's say I have a pet project. I fell in love with a certain rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, and I want to make him. I want to further his cause. I want to sponsor his svarim. I want to further his kollel, his yeshiva. So that became Ani Yircha. That's my pet project. So that can become a nir. I don't think it means, I don't think it has to do with the definition of a nir, Torah HaTchum.
can't be 2 months as an asur until it brings karbanos. It's near machlekes tonight whether mechusrei or the zav dami.
Right, there's a discussion to what extent do we say that the Mechusa Kippurim didn't bring the carbon yet still retains a certain degree of tumah, right? A lot of discussions in the Gemara, yeah. When a person eats macholas asuras, so there's a machlokes hatanaim. One tana holds kol shehula malchus. You get malchus if you eat a chatzis shear. The halach of kazayis, the shear halach of kazayis, is only you're only chayv chatas if you ate kazayis chayla v'dam b'shoygik. But if you ate the mezid, even on kol shul, so we don't pass like that. We pass you only get malchus if you ate a kazayis. What if you ate a half a kazayis today and half a kazayis tomorrow? So that's called a chatzis shear. Chatzis shear we pass in azasim and antira, but you're not chayv malchus. So how close to each other does the achila of the two chatzoy shir have to be? So the Gemara says, as we took the achilas pras. The same thing regarding matzah and korban pesach. If you eat a chatzi kazayis of matzah, you're not yotze. Eat a chatzi kazayis of korban pesach, you're not yotze. You have to eat a kazayis. If you eat a chatzi kazayis now, chatzi kazayis later, and it's took the achilas pras, so then the Gemara says that it's mitzvah. If acholan b'chatzoyin, if lo shor, if it didn't take him longer than Achilas Pras, it's Mitzar. This whole shear of Tokad Achilas Pras, the whole institution, is based on the Pasuk in Terei Sedra, in connection with Nigei Batim in Eretz Yisrael. When this miracle will happen in Eretz Yisrael, there'll be Nigei Batim. So the Torah says, Habol Abayis Yitmar Ha'orev. Whoever walks into the house in a second, Ashechem Abayis, if he sleeps in the house, not only is he Tomei, Yichabes says Begodah, even the Begodim that he's wearing. The Mishnah says if he walks into the Bais and he walks out and he's carrying clothing in his hand, so the clothing becomes Tomei the second he walks in, just like he becomes Tomei the second he walks in. But if he's wearing the clothing, it doesn't become Tomei right away. The shoes and the socks and the clothing he's wearing, it only becomes Tomei if Sheikhe Babais, if he sleeps in the house, Oichal Babais, Yichabes Begodah. What kind of din is that? Oichel babayis, shechem babayis, only if he sleeps in the house, only if he eats in the house. So the Mishnah says it doesn't mean oichel babayis. It means if he shor kedei achilas pras. If he goes into the bayis and he stays there for a few minutes, long enough that one will be able to eat a pras of food, so then not only is he tomei, even the begotim that he's wearing are tomei. What is a pras? A pras means a half of a loaf of bread. How big is the loaf of bread? You have at a wedding, they have a challah the size of the table. And then other people make little, you go to a Sheva Brachas, they give you a little challah, a tiny little challah. So how big is the challah that a pras is a half a challah? So that's why Rashi always explains, based on the Mishnahs in Erevin, the official loaf of bread that we're talking about is the loaf of bread that they used to use for the purpose of Eruv Eitchumen. When you want to have an Eruv Eitchumen, I live over here, and I want to go 3,000 amas. The din only allows me to go alpaim amas, 2,000 amas. So if I leave some food, if I leave enough food that not one would normally eat for two meals, mos and shtei sudas, if I eat food 1,500 amas away from where I am, so I'm kind of shvisa over there, and that's my mokum, and I have alpaim amas in all directions. So how much food do you have to eat? So you have to leave mos and shtei sudas. It doesn't have to be bread. Eruv chatzeris is a din, has to be pas. But eruv etchumen can be any bakol miyarvin. The Mishnah says this second parak, third parak in Erev. Bakol miyarvin, you can use any food. So if you have bread, you have to have the amount of bread that a normal person would eat in two meals. If you leave pickles, if you leave a jar of gefilte fish, if you leave salami, if you leave whatever tomatoes or whatever food you leave, you have to leave so much food. Mosen shtei sudas, the amount, the volume of food that one normal person would eat in two meals. So the question, what's a normal person and how much food would a normal person eat in two meals? So the Tanoim have a machlekes, who's normal, who's not normal. So the Mishnah has a machlekes at Tanoim, how much bread would a normal person consume in the course of one meal, and then you multiply it by two, and that's mosen shtei sudas. So one Tana says the volume of 3 beitzim of bread, the other Tana says the volume of 4 beitzim of bread. And in Shulchan Aruch, and the Holos Pesach, it's a machlekes HaRishonim, which Tana to paskan like. It's a Mishnah towards the end of the Erev. Whether it's three beitzim or four beitzim. So the Meila, the Mazon Shtei Sudas, will either be six beitzim or eight beitzim. You simply multiply by two. So Kdoch de Achilas Pras means, a pras means Halofrosla Roiv Lachmecho. Shaya Novi recommends we should break bread, break off, the wealthy people should share from their bread and give to the Anim. So break off your bread. So you have the official loaf of bread that the Mishnah is talking about for the purpose of their Beit Chumen. That's Mazon Shtei Sudos. That's either six, the volume of six Beitzim or eight Beitzim. If you cut it in half, that's called a pras. That's Mazon Suda Achas. So if you eat a kazayis, how many kazayisim are there in a beitza? So that's also a machlek zavishan, whether there are two beitzim, to the two kazayisim in a beitza, or three kazayisim in a beitza. And you either a pras, mazon suda achas, a pras is either the volume of three beitzim or four beitzim. So either you're multiplying two kazayisim or three kazayisim per beitza, either you're multiplying two times three or two times four, or 3 times 3 or 3 times 4. So you have so long to eat your kazayis amatzah that you could have eaten 12 kazayis, according to one opinion. Or you could have eaten 6 kazayis. You have an awful lot of time. By us, there's no shayla. We say al achilas matzah, eat a kazayis. However much the kazayis is, however much you decide your kazayis is, you just eat the kazayis. You don't pause and you don't talk. So it's kazayis tokad achilas kazayis. So there's no shayla. You can't tell the person he has to hurry. You tell the person the kazayis is five matzahs and he has to eat it within a half a minute. That's impossible. You can't. He has so much time to eat the kazayis. Either enough time to eat 12 kazayisim, 100 matzahs. If you're going to tell me a kazayis is five matzahs, so the achilas pras is an hour. You have a lot of time over there. It's not shaykh. If a person is just eating the matzah and he's not pausing in between, he's not schmoozing. So when he eats the kazai, he's going to be eating kazai stach achilas kazai. The whole thing only is if you're pausing, so how much of a pause do we allow? So we allow so much time to pause, he has to swallow the kazai within the amount of time that he would have been able to eat six times the kazai, eight times the kazai, nine times or 12 times, depending whether kazai is a half or a third of a beitza, and depending whether the pras is three beitzim or the four beitzim. So the Mishnah happens to say here by the Bais HaMenuga, if one is shoya the Bais HaMenuga, kidei achilas pras pas chitim meisa be'oichal beliftan. The Mishnah gives you a long formula over here. So kidei achilas pras means he's eating pas chitim, he's not eating barley bread, he's not eating some other kind of bread, he's eating dafke wheat. And he's eating in a reclining position, so it's easier to swallow. And he's eichel beliftan. He's dipping it into some kind of a moist thing that makes it easier to swallow. If you're eating dry bread, it's going to get stuck in your throat. It's going to take longer to swallow. If you keep on dipping it in some kind of a salad dressing, so it's going to roll down your throat faster. So the Mishnah gives the shirk. If you show a babayis hamenugo, it doesn't have to be eichel babayis. It doesn't have to be sheikh babayis. The upshot of the pasuk, this is pasuk mem zayin. The upshot of the pasuk is, if you walk into a bais hamenuga, you walk out, your tummy that got him, you're wearing an atami. But if you are shoya kidei achilas pras pas chit the meisav beichot beliftan, so then not only are you tummy, you begot him a tummy as well. So the minchas chinuch on the mitzvah of gid anoshe, that's in Bereishis, the first macholas hasuris that the Torah lists off. All the other makulas asuras are in Shmini and in Re'eif, that the Bas Mokhalim and so on. But the first makulas asuras listed in the Chumash is the Gid Anoshe. So Gid Anoshe, if you eat the whole Gid Anoshe, even if it's tiny, less than a kazayas, so the Gemara says that it's a barrier. So you're loike. And if you have a gigantic Gid Anoshe, you don't have to eat the whole thing. If you eat a kazayas from it, then you're loike. So you have to eat the kazayas. Tukdechilos pras. So the Minchas Chinuch discusses, what's the share of Tokad Achilas Pras? So the Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Yom Kippurim talks also about it. If you have a Chayla who has to eat on Yom Kippur because there's a suffix, Hakonos Nefashis, so Machilamosa Hakala Kalchila. So you try to have him, if he can save his life, have him violate less Isurim, let him eat Chatzishir Zosman Antar, but there's no Kores. So why have him eat a whole meal which would be an isakar, is have meat pachas pachas mikashir. Let him eat less than a kazayis and pause, then eat less than a kazayis and pause, and then eat less than a kazayis. That'll take care of his sakana, and he will only be in violation of eating chatzishir. He won't be in violation of eating the isakaris, of eating the full shir. So the Mishnah Berurah there quotes from the Chasam Sefer, how long is the period of Tekad Achilas Pras? So the Minchas Chinuch wrote before the Mishnah Berurah, he didn't have a Mishnah Berurah. So he says, what are they talking about? They're giving this man of Tekad Achilas Pras. It depends what you're eating. Are you drinking water? So water, you can drink a pras of water very quickly. Are you eating hard-boiled eggs that are dry? Are you eating egg salad that has a lot of mayonnaise mixed in, so it goes down your throat very easily? Are you eating dry bread? Are you eating soft bread, hard bread? What kind of food are you eating? He says, each achilas pras, kedei achilas pras of that food. The halacha l'Moshe Mesina says, by bayis hamenuga, he doesn't have to eat anything. You show you, by bayis hamenuga, if he stays there for a few minutes, long enough to eat achilas pras, then not only is he tummy, the begotim, the shoes and socks that he's wearing are also tummy. So there you have to say, achilas pras of what? Because he's not eating anything. What does it correspond to? So there the halacha Moshe Mesina says, achilas pras pas chitim, meisa v'yachal b'liftam. But if the guy is not in the bayis hamenuga, he's eating food. So then the shir k'de achilas pras depends on that food. That's the taina, that's a very strong taina of the Minchas Chinuch. You can't give a fixed shir. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chasam Sofer, says 11 minutes. Others say 9 minutes, others say 3 minutes, 2 minutes. It's a Minchas Chinuch. Said, what are they all talking about? It depends what kind of food you're eating. Every food has its own shir. The Acharonim mean we have a machloikis. Let's say a person is drinking hot coffee, and the coffee is so hot you can't drink it just like this. You have to drink it, you have to take a sip and pause, take a sip and pause, take a sip and pause. So do you consider k'dei achilas pras of burning hot coffee? You're going to have longer time to drink a revius? Or do you consider the exact same coffee, if it would have been room temperature, you would have been able to drink the whole thing without any pause at all? So even to that extent, there's a machlekes achreinim. They seem to be assuming that you treat, that's what the Minchas Chinuch brings that raya. We treat every food individually, k'dei achilas pras of this particular food. But the shaila is, what if you're drinking hot coffee or hot tea? Does achilas pras depend on the tea when it's hot or the tea when it's room temperature? But certainly it'll make a difference whether you're eating hard-boiled eggs or egg salad with a lot of mayonnaise mixed in, or you're eating a dry matzah, or you're eating a moister bread, a bread with a lot of moisture in it. That's what he's saying, is every oichel should have its own shear of k'dei achilas pras. Right after the bayis hamenuga, the objective shear, because you're not eating, is pras pas chitim meisa v'ochel b'liftam. He's eating it by dipping it into some dressing, so it can go down his throat faster, and it's behaseba. He's eating behaseba, so he can eat it faster, and it has to be pas chitim, wheat bread. But he tied it by all other foods, there is no standard shear. Depends on the achilas pras of that particular food. Right after the parsha of Tzaraz Batim, the Torah has a din of azav. Azav is not the same as a balkeri. A married person has tashmish with his wife. That's a ish kiseitz menashich vazera. That's a balkeri. But a balkeri is a machloikis harishainim, whether he's an av hatumah or a rishon latumah. Is it when the shich vazera comes out of his body, the shich vazera is an av hatumah, he becomes tamei maga, it's a tumas maga, so he's only a rishon? Or no, it's a tumas riya. When the keri comes out of his body, he's considered a tumas riya. So this is a big machlekes rishonim, and several achrayim want to say it seems to be a machlekes satanoim. What's the nature of the tumas balkeri? But a zav is a person has some kind of a sickness, and the white fluid that comes out from the same place where the sheikh vazer comes out from is not the same consistency. It's a different thing. It's a disease. And if a person, he's only tamei if the ziva comes out by itself. If he brought it upon himself because he ate certain foods or because he did exercise or whatever, the Mishnah says, b'shiva drachim botmes hazav. The Gemara in the first daf in Kiddushin quotes that Mishnah, masech hazavim. You have to check the zav, check for 7 different things, what did he eat and what exercise did he do, to see is he really a zav.
if it's machmasinus, then he doesn't become a zav. The ziva will only make him into a balkeri. And even if it is ziva, even if it is the real thing, it's a different consistency, it's a different thing, it's a sickness, even if it is, if he only has rear rishayna shal azav, he's only tummy like a balkeri. If he has rear shniya of azav, then he's tummy shiva. Then he needs shiva nikim and he needs the maim chayim. Ein bein zav harayah shtevias, le zav harayah shalosh rias, elo korban bilvad. The zav harayah shtevias already, the zav harayah ria achas, is only tummy like a balkeri. Maybe according to some rishonim, according to some tanaim, he'll only be a rishon letumah. Zav harayah shtevias, that for sure is a zav, he's an av hatumah, and he needs shivinikim, and he needs maim chayim. And zav harayah shalosh rias has to bring the korban. That's the Mishnah ein bein. Ein bein zav harayah shtevias, zav harayah shalosh rias, le korban bilvad. The zava, we'll get to the zava soon. There's a din of a nida and a din of a zava. The nida, that's the exact same thing. The only difference is the nida, the dama nida comes min amokar. The difference is that the nida has the riyas dam be'es nidasa, when it's normal to be expected. And the zava, the isha zava, is below es nidasa, when it's not to be expected. When it's not normal. When is low es nidasa? Very unclear. So the Mishnah in the end of Nida, towards the very end of Nida, says, Elu Yud Alaf Yom Shebein Nida LeNida. There are 11 days that she, if the Riyas Dam is within those 11 days, then she becomes a Zava. Most Rishonim, aside from the Rama, most Rishonim assume that the 11 days means the following. Whenever a woman has a Riyas Nida, so she's Tameya for 7 days, whether she has Dam all the 7 days or only the first day. Usually the women have Dam a couple of days, 3-4 days. So she's Tmeya till the end of the 7 days. The very next 11 days following immediately after those first 7 days, that's those are the Yud Alef Yom Shebein Nida LeNida. She can become, she's able to become a Zava, either Zava Gedoyla or Zava Ktana. She has three Riyas. She becomes a Zava Gedoyla. She has one or two Riyas. She'll only become a Zava Ktana. But after those 11 days are up, you have 7 and 11. After 11 days, the next Riyas she's going to have, whenever it's going to be, will make her into a Nida. And then, after those 7 days are up, the immediate, this 11 days following immediately after the 7 days in May Nida, those are the Yud Alef Yom Shebein Nida LeNida. The Rambam has an unusual opinion that all the Rishonim say is against all the Gemaras. The Rambam says no. When the first time the girl starts to have a period, so she has to have a calendar and she has to mark up 7-11, 7-11, 7-11 LeYolam Void. So there are many Gemaras that contradict the Rambam. How can the Rambam say it's against all the Gemaras? The Achrayim all say the same teretz. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. How do you know this institution of Yud Alef Yom Shebein Nida LeNida? That's mamish the last daf in Maseches Nida. So the Gemara says in the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azaria. The Gemara says you have in a few places like that. Machlokes Rabbi Kiva, he adorish al kol kotz v'kotz tilit tilim shel halacha. Rabbi Kiva was able to figure out drushes from psukim that other tanaim said were halachas l'moshe misina. So Blazman Azari says that this halacha yud alef yom shebein nida l'nida is halacha l'moshe misina. Rabbi Kiva says no, it's based on a pasuk. So if you hold it's based on a pasuk, the pasuk reads like all the other rishonim, that it's only the first 11 days following the 7 days. Once you hold like Rabbi Blazman Azari that it's halacha l'moshe misina, then you're free to say whatever you want. So the Rambam thinks it's halacha l'moshe misina. And it means it goes on, 7-11, 7-11, the Yerlam. But we don't really hold like that. The Pashtas, we don't hold like the Rambam. So you have, there's a discrepancy between, there's a distinction between a Zav. There's a Zav Bal Shteirias, Nid Shiv and Ikim, and he has to be Toivel and a Mayan, but he doesn't have to bring the Korban. A Zav Bal Shalosh Rias has to bring a Korban as well. And a Zava who has three Rias becomes a Zava Gdoyla. So the Mishnah points out there's a distinction between the Zav and the Zava. Tala Kosav is Hazav B'Rias with Hazava B'Yomim. In order to become a Zava G'dorla, she has to have a Rias Dam within the 11 days, Yud Alef Yom Shebein Nida LeNida, on three consecutive days. If she has three Rias on the same day, it doesn't make her into a Zava G'dorla. Tala Kosav is Hazav B'Rias. The Zav becomes a Zav with two Rias or three Rias. It becomes a Zav for Tumen, a Zav for Korban. Even if all the three Riyas were on the same day, as opposed to a Zava, to be considered a separate Riyah, has to be on a separate day. So then the Mishnah discusses, what do you mean the Zav becomes a Zav with three Riyas on the same day? What if he has a Riyah for 5 minutes? So you say, The first minute is one riyah, the second minute is another riyah, the third minute is a third riyah. They say, no, it's one long riyah. So the Mishnah discusses how long can one riyah take place that we should have the right to divide it up and declare that it's considered three different riyahs. So that's a Mishnah and Zavin. Mishnah talks about it. So that's right after the din of Tzaraz Batim, you have the din of Zav, then you have the din of Balkeri. Right after that, Ishki Seitz Meneshich Mazera. The Balkeri is a machlokes Rishonim, we mentioned, whether he's a Rishon Tuma or he is an Avat Tuma. Then you have the din of a Nida and a Zava. Right after that, we have a din in Avelus. A person is observing Shiva, so the morning of the seventh day, the people are Menachem Oval, and then he calls it quits. And the morning of the 30th day, you say Miktsaseyam Kukulai, and you're finished. Yeah, where is the whole mocker for this institution, Miktsaseyam Kukulai? So the Gemara, the end of Nida says the mocker is the pasuk in today's Sedra by the Zova. The Nida and the Oledes are Tmeya, the Nida is Tmeya for 7 days, the Oledes. Depends whether she had a boy or a girl. If she had a baby boy, she's tmeah for 7 days. If she had a baby girl, she's tmeah for 14 days. So you can't say miktsaseyam kukula. The nida has to wait till the 7 days are finished, and then she can go to mikveh at night. And the oledes, if she had a baby girl, she has to wait till the night following the 14 days. But by a zava, they need shiva nekiyim, so they, when they make a bedika the morning of the seventh day, and everything is tahar, they meet Shivanikim, they have to make bedikas every day for 7 days. So when they make the bedika on the morning of the seventh day, then you can say Miktsas Hayam Kukula. So that's based on the word in the Pasuk Va'acha Tita. V'sofer lo shivas yamim, it says, it describes by the Zovo. Anita doesn't need Shivanikim. Anita just has to wait till 7 days are up. She can have dam for 6.5 days, and then the end of the seventh day, there's no longer any dam, she makes a hefsik tarot. She knows it's no longer dam, so she goes to mikvah balayla. But if she's a zava, then the Chumash says that she has to count for sofer lo shivas yamim. She has to count shivanikim. So it should have said v'sofer lo shivas yamim v'titar. What does it say? V'achar titar? Obviously v'achar. So the word achar, the Tana Reb Shimon says in the end of Masechas Nida, v'achar titar is understood v'achar maise titar. If she does a bedika on the seventh day, then you can call her quits in the morning. Then you say Miktsas Hayam Kukula. So this pasuk, this word, V'achar, is the source of Miktsas Hayam Kukula by Avelos, by Shiva, and by Shloshim, and by Nazir. The Gemara applies it to a Nazir. Nazir has to observe Avelos, has to observe Naziris for 30 days. Stam Naziris Shloshim Yom. So the Mishnah says, if he brings the Karbonis, the morning and the 30th day is also good. But he didn't observe Avelos for 30 days. So the Gemara says, Miktsas Hayam Kukula. That's a shot. There are some people who go daven and shul Shabbos morning, Miktsas Hayam Kukula, then they go to work. They fast on Yom Kippur in the morning, Miktsas Hayam Kukula. It's enough. Yeah, why doesn't it apply? How did the Tanoim know when to apply Miktsas Hayam Kukula, when not? So the Ramam Ipanu has such a discussion. So he claims that the halacha miktsam kukula only applies to nyone tume, or to nyone avelus. It's something that you want to shake off, you want to get rid of it. So there the Torah gives you a break. You shake off the tume. Sofa lo shivas yam achatita. Avelus, you want to shake off. But kedusha, you want to be moisef mechol ala kodesh. You want to expand on kedusha, on happy things, like say shivas yamei amishta. So the chasen kala will say, the morning of the seventh day, we'll call the quits, miktsam kukula. So he says, no, it says male shvuzos v'nitin locha gamazos. Since it says male, you should fill out the whole week. So that's what the Ramam Ipana writes in his Truvas, that in Yone Kedusha and Simcha, you don't hack up. So Shabbos and Yontav, you can't hack up. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this in his Gil Yoni HaShas on Nazir. So he says, so how does the Gemara apply Miktsam Kekula by a Nazir? It says Kodesh Yiyah, Gavul Peres HaRosha. The Nazir has Kedushas Naziris. You should say malish wazos. You should say, you should fill it all up. Shouldn't be rushing to get rid of it. So the pashtus is that it's not like the Ramam Ipana. It's not restricted only to inyane tume and to inyane avelos. It even applies to inyane kedusha as well. But we distinguish between a malos. A malos is a unit of days that's superimposed on the calendar.
someone dies and the relatives observe Shiva. So Shiva is not printed on the calendar. Whenever the person is buried, so you mark off when the Shiva begins and when the Shiva ends. Or a person becomes a Nazir. It's not a calendaric day. He's Mekabel Naziris. Whatever day is Mekabel Naziris. So you start, so he's superimposing time. Or the Zav, or the Zavo, that's a Malois. Mosheni Kain Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's a calendaric day. The whole day long is Shabbos. The whole day long is Pesach or Sukkot, whatever it is, Yom Kippur. So you can't say Mikta Yom Kikulon. The Goinim have in the Chuvas Agoinim, the Oitzer Agoinim on Masechus Tainis, the end of Masechus Tainis, they ask the question that Tisha B'Av has the din like Shiva, and it's like the last day of Shiva. Tisha B'Av is only one day. So why don't we say Mikzem Kekula on Tisha B'Av? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, no, the Meraglim sinned on Tisha B'Av, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chisem b'chiyav shalchinim, ani yakve lachem b'chiyav l'doros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu established the calendaric day of Tisha B'Av as a b'chiyav. That's a calendaric day, Tisha B'Av. It's not some bimikra it happens to be. So the whole day long is Tisha B'Av. You can't say Mikzem Kekulai. If you, unless it's a malois, something that's superimposed on top of the calendar. But if it's mamish yom baluach, so the whole day long is a day. But this is the mocker of the institution. The word va'acha, v'sofer la'shivas yamim va'acha atita. Tosis on the first daf in Masechus Gittin has the famous comment. The Gemara says there on daf beis that eidechadem b'isur. How do you know that there's a principle of eidechadem b'isur? So it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says, "Sharei hamina haTorah kol odam al hashchita." The Torah trusts everybody regarding shchita. How do you know the Torah trusts everybody regarding shchita? Maybe you have to have two witnesses watching, because that's our practice. That the butcher sells me the meat, and he tells me that it's kosher. And the delivery man from the slaughterhouse was Jewish, and he told him that it was kosher. And the shochet told somebody there, so it's eid mipi eid mipi eid mipi eid, and every step of the way is eid echad. Maybe you need Davke Shnei Eidim. Who says that that's legitimate? So Rashi and Chulin adds on, no, not just HaTorah Hamina Kol Odom Al HaShchita. Because it says in Parshas Vayikra, the Shochat as Ben HaBokar. So the person shechts the Korban in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say people. You have to have two witnesses watching when he shechts. Sounds like he's shechting Bein Ola Bein O. He shechts Bein Ola Bein Atzma. So you see from there, Eidecha Nemen Bisur. That's what Rashi says. And Tosfos has a series of kashas against Rashi. They have reasons why they think that that's not a valid valid drasha. That's not a valid source, because that's biyodo, it's different. So Tosfos says, the mocker is from this pasuk, v'sofra lo, and the Gemara says in Ksubas, dafayin aleph, dafayin beis, v'sofra lo liatzma, the woman counts shiva nikiyim all by herself. So you see that in Echadem and Bisur. So there is a... Machlokes and Rishonim, whether Eidecha Nemen Bisurim applies to women or not. Some hold it doesn't apply to women. So how can you trust your wife? How can you trust your sister when they cook food for you and they tell you that this is kosher food? And maybe it's treif. How can you believe them? So the answer is, I know my wife. I know my daughter. They're religious people. So the reason why my wife is Nemen is not because Eidecha Nemen Bisurim, because Chazak al Chaver, a religious person, wouldn't be Machshon me. Eidecha Nemen Bisurim, if I don't know who the person is. I come to Arizona, and there's a store that says Shaima Shabbos Kosher, and I come in, and a woman is wearing a shekel, I don't know who she is. And she tells me that she's religious, and this is kosher food. So that's a question. If I don't know who she is, can I rely on Eidecha Nemen Bisurim? She's a woman. So most assume that yes, and there's a whole list of Rishonim and Balei HaTosfos who say no, Eidecha Nemen Bisurim doesn't apply to women. So here, if you learn out, if according to Tosfos, that this pasuk with Safra Law is the mocker for the din of Eidecha Nemen Bisurim, so it's obvious that it applies to women. The pasuk is talking about women. The Achrayim point out on that machlekes Rashi and Tosfos that the Rishonim quotes the both opinions. So they're both right. It's a machlekes Amoraim in the Talmud Rishonim somewhere in Zroim. I think in Maseches Trumas they quote that some Amoraim say like Rashi and some Amoraim say like Tosfos. So some say the Farish that Eidecha Nemen Bisurim does apply to women. If you hold like Rashi, v'shochet as ben abokar. So then there's what to discuss, whether Eidecha Nemen Bisurim applies to women or not. Torah has a din of a boil nida. Not only is the nida tmeya for 7 days, im shochov yishka bishoy so,
If a person touches a nida, so the nida is an avatuma, the one who touches it becomes a rishon tuma. Whenever tuma is transmitted, it always goes down a madrega. That's what the Gemara says on the first daf in Bava Kamma, that told the same lavka etzvem. Whenever tuma is transmitted, it has to go down. And Tosis is bothered with the kasha. If tuma always has to go down, how do you have a din of cherev harei ukecholo? You have a mace, we consider avi avoy satuma. So if you have a kli mateches that touches the mace, it's on the same level of tuma. It's avi avoy satuma. So isn't that a violation of this rule of cherev harei ukecholo? Contradicts the rule that told the same lavka yetzibahem. Whenever the tumor is transmitted, it has to go down a madrega. So Taisus answers, it's okay. Cherev harekecholo did go down a madrega because it can make another cherev harekecholo. If someone, let's say, attends a funeral, so the mace is avi avoy satuma. I attended, I become an avatuma. But if I'm wearing a metal watch or I have a jewelry in my pocket, I have a ring, a metal ring in my pocket, and so the metal ring becomes avi avoy satuma. But if the metal ring would touch another metal ring, it won't make another cherev harekechol. That's what Tosfos writes on the first daf in Bava Kamma, the Beis on the Beis. Even a cherev harekechol, it's also going down a madrega. So the Torah says, if a person touches a nida, the nida is av hatuma, the one who touches her becomes a rishon hatuma. But if someone is boil nida, so the Torah says, sehini dosa ola v'tamin shivas yomim. He becomes an av hatuma. The boil nida becomes an av hatuma. So the Gemara has a brisa in the end of Maseches Nida. Sehini dosa olav. So the Gemara says, yochel yala l'raglo. Let's say the woman is a nida. She has another 2 days to go. She's supposed to go to the mikveh on Friday night. So she's already on the fifth day of nida. So if one is boil nida, so does he become tummy for 7 full days? So she's going to go to mikveh Friday night. He has to go wait till next week to go to mikveh. Or do you say, yachal yala l'ragla? He takes over where she's holding, wherever she's holding. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that you don't say yala l'ragla. The boil nida becomes tummy for 7 days. So the Gemara never has such a brisa v'negeh to cherev harei kecholo. What's the din over there? Let's say a person went to a funeral and he's tummy for 7 days. He has to have hazor shlishi shvi, and then after hazor shlishi shvi from the paraduma water, so then he can go to the mikveh and become tahor. So let's say he's already on the fifth day. He already had hazor shlishi and he's holding the fifth day, and another 2 days he'll have hazor shvi and he'll go to the mikveh, and then he touches a kli mateches. The cherev harekecholol says in the Mishnayis doesn't only apply that the cherev touched the cholol, dead body. If the cherev touched an av hatuma, the mace is avi avos hatuma, and the one who attended the funeral becomes an av hatuma. So if the cherev touches, if the kli mateches touches a person who's an av hatuma, also it'll become an av hatuma. So how long will it be tamei? Will it be tamei for 7 full days? And the cherev now needs hazor shlishi shvi. But he say no, yala l'raglo. Wherever I'm holding, I'm on the fifth day, so the cherev harekecholo will take over and become on the fifth day. So that's a famous Rashash in the end of Chagiga. The Rashash points out that the Gemara in the end of Nida has a brisa by the boil Nida yochel yala l'raglo talma loyma, that it's not so, and the Gemara never discusses by cherev harekecholo by a tomei mace whether the cherev becomes tummy for 7 full days, ya'ala l'raglo, you don't have a brisa. So the Rashash says, the Havamina will be correct over there. The Havamina should have been ya'ala l'raglo. So by Zava, by Nida, by Zava, there's a pasuk that tells you, you don't say ya'ala l'raglo. And by the tummy mace, with the cherev harekechol, there's no pasuk to teach you otherwise. So the Svara Chitzana should be that it'll be ya'ala l'raglo. So this is a big pilpul in later Svarim. The Rashash was just printed in the end of the 1800s of the Vilna Shas. So the later Svarim have a whole discussion. Is he right or is he wrong? Stipler thinks that maybe he's right. Others think that he's wrong. The Mikdash Dovi thinks that he's wrong. The Stipler thinks that maybe he's right. I have a Gemara in the end of Nida. I thought that he's right. From the Gemara it would appear that he is right. There's a Minchas Chinuch raises a Shaila. A boil nida is tummy for 7 days, even though the nida is holding by the fifth day, he becomes tummy now for 7 full days. What if he's boiled zavaktana? Zavaktana is only tameya for 1 day.
So the boil zavak tana, the boil will be tummy for 7 days. He'll only be tummy for 1 day. So he writes, he's not sure. He thinks, Minchas Chinuch thinks that it'll be tummy for 7 days. Since we don't say yala leragla, he doesn't take over where she happens to be holding. There's a din, a boil nida, boil zava is tummy for 7 full days. So the Minchas Chinuch thinks that even a boil zavak tana, well, even though she herself is only tamei 1 day, she marries yom keneged yom, and that's it. But he thinks that the boil zavak tana should be tummy for 7 days. So Reb Shlomo LeVilna was a big bucky. He was the younger brother of Tzal LeVilna, the two Dayanim in Vilna, the end of the 1800s. So Reb Shlomo LeVilna wrote his sefer Binyan Shlomos, and his sefer he quotes this Minchas Chinuch, and then he says he discovered the Pirush Arayvid on Toras Kohanim. On this pasuk says Beferish not like the Minchas Chinuch. Pirush Arayvid writes that the Bol Zavak Tan is only tummy for 1 day. And then he has a chidish nifla. Let's say the woman, the Ravid writes, let's say the woman is in the middle of Yud Aleph Yom Shebei Nida LaNida. She has a Riyaz Dam today, one a day, 11 days. She becomes a Zavak Tana. And the min is Boal Zavak Tana. And then tomorrow she has a second Riyaz. The day after she has a third Riyaz. The Zavak only becomes a Zavak Dol if he had Riyaz on 3 different days. So the man was Boal Zavak Tana on the first day when she became a Zavak Tana. So the Rabbi writes, is only tummy 1 day. But if she continues to have a second Riyah on the next day and the third Riyah on the third day, then it's the Gloy Milson Amafreya. She was a Zavak Dola from day number one, and the Boil, the one who was Boal Leho, after the first day, will be tummy for 7 days. That's a fantastic Chiddush. The Rabbi always comes up with original ideas. That's a fantastic Chiddush. That a zava gdoila is not that the third riyah makes a tamei mikana lahabo. If you have a riyah for 3 days in a row, it's considered one long riyah. And from the beginning of the 3 days, she already became a gloy muslim afreya. She became a zava gdoila from the beginning of the first riyah. There are some difficult Rashis in the end of Nida where it may appear the Rashi would make better sense if he holds like this Rashi. Yes, last year when we studied Hilchas Nida, so we came across such Rashis. Hizartem is b'nei Yisrael mitumasam. You should be mafresh the Jewish people from Tuma. So the Gemara says, Ashora. The Bnei Yisrael sheyifreshu min hashaseihem samach leveston. That's in Shavuos daf Yudches Amud Beis. They told us, Sarah tells you to look there. That's a din of prisha, that if the husband and the wife should figure out exactly when the oines havesus is, when she's expecting her period, and he's not permitted to be boal ishto the whole oines havesus. So the Gemara learns it out from this pasuk, and there's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. If you hold that Vestus lav deraisis, it doesn't make sense. If the whole din of Vestus is only midirabbanon, it's lav deraisis. How can it be that Prisha Samach Levestus deraisis? And most assume that Prisha Samach Levestus derabbanon. And some of the Rishonim and Acharonim hold no. That Vestus lav deraisis, but Prisha Samach Levestus is a din deraisis. The Haftorah Parshas Mitzorah is a famous Haftorah. It starts off with the Arboa Mitzorahim who was sitting Pesach Shar Shomron. They didn't enter the city Shomron, despite the fact that Shomron was an ir hamukefes chayma in Eretz Yisrael, but it was not mukav chayma mimosev shul benun. In the previous perek here, right before this, it tells you when Shomron was constructed. The whole city was put up in the later generations during the lifetime of Elisha Hanavi. So, despite the fact that it didn't really have the din derais of mukav chayma mimosev shul benun. They would know Yigachumra. They treated it as if it was like a muk of chayma, and they wouldn't permit the Mitzarayim to enter the city. So that's what you see from the first line. Who were these Abba Mitzarayim? So the Gemara has a tradition that this was Gehazi and his three sons. Naamon, Sartzva, Melech Aram. That's in last week's Haftorah. Last week we learned the Haftorah for Parshas HaChodesh, so we didn't read it. But the Haftorah for Tazria is from Sefer Melachim Beis. that Naaman, who was the Sar Tzva Melech Aram, he was the general in the army, he became sick with Tzaras, and he came to Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't cure himself, and then Elisha Navi told him he should dip in the Yarden, and his Tzaras became, he was tovel in the Yarden 7 times, and his Tzaras was cured, and he wanted, out of Hakoras HaTov, he wanted to give him gold and silver and a lot of money, and Elisha Navi wanted to make a Kiddush Hashem and said, the Rebbeinu Shlom gives me my parnasa, I don't need anything, thank you very much. I didn't cure you, it was all Menashamayim. So then Gehazi was the Shkabai of Elisha Navi. He used to call Rav Moshe Feinstein, he used to have boys with him all the time to keep bouncers, to keep all the nudniks away. So he used to call him Gehazi, because Gehazi used to kick all the people out. He didn't let the people come. So the Gehazi was a character here. So he saw that he can get a lot of money here. So he chased after Naaman on his way back home to Aram. And he said, my boss changed his mind. Elisha Navi changed his mind. Give me the money, the gold and silver, and I'll give it to the boss. I'll give it to Elisha Navi. So he gave him all the money. And then he didn't give it to Elisha Navi. He kept it for himself. And he made a Chilul Hashem. Like this, Elisha wanted to make a Kiddush Hashem to cure Naaman without taking any fee. Chassidus Rebbe's take opinion, but he didn't. He wasn't a Chassidus Rebbe. He didn't want to take opinion. And because Gehazi made a Chilul Hashem, so Elisha cursed him. He said that Tzaras Naaman Tidbek Bechor, whom you should become a Metzora, and your 3 sons. So the Gemara has a tradition. Those are the 4 people: the Abba Metzora and Pesach Shar Shamron, with these Menuvolim. This was Gehazi Shloshes Bona. So then the Gemara goes ahead and learns out a din from these Abba Metzorah. A din that's very relevant, Bizman Hazeh, is a person is deathly sick, and there's a risky procedure, a medical procedure that he can undergo, which may hasten his death. He may die on the operating table, and it may extend his life. And he only has Chayishah. He doesn't have too long to live. And it's a possibility, if the procedure works, it's a possibility that it'll extend his life. So the Gemara says, we learn out from the Pasuk, from the Haftarah, that you're permitted to make that choice. Because the Abba Metzorah ran out of food. We're going to die. We have no food. They have no food inside Shomron because the enemy surrounded the city. There was a war going on. And so they figure we may as well surrender to the enemy. If they take us, they may kill us on the spot. So we have another day or two to live, so we'll lose the day or two that we have to live, but they may take us prisoners of one, they'll give us food, and we'll live longer. So they took the risk, even though they knew that they may lose the Chai Shoah, but since there was a possibility of Chai Olam, so they did it. So the Gemara says, we learn out from these 4 tzaddikim that's the din. Who were these 4 characters? Were they the Gdoli Ador? They the Sanhedrin? These were the Rishoim who were punished by the curse of Elisha HaNavi. So apparently the Gemara knows the din. We know the din is a person is not allowed to take his life, he's not allowed to do something that may cause him to die earlier. but a person is not a balabas to take his life, but a person is a balabas to determine whether he's doing him a favor by extending his life or not. So if a person says, let me die already, I'm so sick, I suffered enough, they're giving him whatever, chemotherapy, he's losing his hair, he can't hear, he can't see, he says, let me die in peace already. So that's not considered suicide. If a person has a reasonable choice, he's not allowed to take his life, but he says, I don't want any treatment, let me die in peace. So that apparently is permissible. A person is a balabas to determine that you're not doing him a teuva by extending his life. The only shaila is this has to be a reasonable choice. Let's say the Magen Avraham quotes the Tshuvas HaRadvaz in Hilchos Shabbos, he quotes. Let's say a young person, 20 years old, has gangrene in a leg. The doctors say we have to cut off the leg and we'll give you a plastic leg and you'll live another 100 years. He says, I'd rather die than have you cut off my leg. So that's absolutely unreasonable. See, not allowed to listen to him over there. A young person, 20 years old, and they've done this surgery thousands of times. They have everything under control. So you're not allowed to listen to the person because that's not reasonable. That botla daita etzel das kol ben yodim. So the Gemara Shaila only was, what if you have such a scenario that the person is deathly sick
and he only has chayisho, he'll only live a couple of days. He won't live. Chaim Moizer, Rav Moshe assume the chayisho means yud beis chodesh, less than yud beis chodesh. Chayolam means, but what do you mean chayolam? No one lives forever. Chayolam means to live more than yud beis chodesh. Chayisho is less than yud beis chodesh. Chayolam is more than yud beis chodesh. So what if a person is deathly sick and the doctors say b'derech hateva he's not going to survive more than yud, he won't live yud beis chodesh, and if you do a certain procedure, surgery, whatever, it's risky. He may die earlier than otherwise, and he may extend his life and more than yud beis chodesh. So is that called a reasonable choice that the choyle should have the right to choose like that? So Gemara is not learning out the din for him. The Gemara is just learning out. You see that their choice made sense. The Tanakh records their choice, that it did make sense. It makes sense, then the Chayla has a right to choose like that. But the principle, the din that the Chayla has a right to choose, that they're not learning out from the Haftarah. That apparently they knew on their own, that the Chayla has the right to make that choice. It's up to him to decide whether extending his life is a Taiva or Nishkin Taiva. The only thing they learned out from here is in Das Bnei Adam, whether such a choice makes sense. So they say, look at these four people, even though they were Bali Avera, they made that choice and it turned out good for them. And it's recorded in Tanakh, in history, that that's a reasonable choice. So whoever wants to choose like that, to go through the risky procedure, gives them to hate. You can choose. You choose not to, is not to. It's up to you to decide whether you want it or not. Just the Gemara Avodah Zarah learns that the din from this after. Okay, B'li Neder Sunday, we'll try to have a normal time, no? What time is she on Sunday? 11:30? Try to get back to a schedule.